Yehovah came to Ezekiel and said, "Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand."
Welcome to Double Portion Inheritance with Maria Merola, brought to you by DoublePortionInheritance.com. Now, Maria Merola.
Good evening, Mishpoka, friends, family, and Messiah. Tonight is March 6th, 2014, and this is Maria Merola with Double Portion Inheritance. I know that a couple of weeks ago, I told everybody on February the 20th that I was going to be continuing the study on the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, last week, something happened, something came up, and I was not able to continue that study because things happened that coincide with prophetic dreams that I've had in the past, and suddenly my plan to teach on a certain subject gets halted or delayed because I have to address those things as they come up. It's like, you know, you have to strike while the iron is hot. And so last week I talked about Pope Francis's visit over the video conference with Kenneth Copeland and why that is so significant and what is actually taking place behind the scenes. I also shared the dream that I had back in 2002 where I was shown that many of the TV evangelists are already in cahoots with the Vatican. They are either Jesuit plants or they are working with the Jesuits. Now, many of you who listened to that show last week may not understand fully, but the Jesuits are an order of Catholic priests that got started in the 1500s by a Spanish man named Ignatius Loyola. Pope Innocent III hired him to stomp out the Protestant Reformation. You see, many Protestants began to read the Holy Scriptures for themselves when Martin Luther had the Bible printed in German for the German-speaking people, and many people were waking up to the truth about the papacy and the fact that the papacy was the office of the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist. And because many people were awakening to this truth, they were coming out of her, the Vatican. They were coming out of the Vatican. And so the Catholic Church was very worried because they were losing members, they were losing donations. So they had to formulate a plan whereby they could stomp out the Protestant Reformation. And so they started this order of Catholic priests called the Jesuits. Another name for them is the Society of Jesus. And you see, the name Jesus was adopted by the Gnostics. Our Messiah's real name isn't Jesus. It's Yahushua. It's Joshua in ancient Hebrew. As a matter of fact, in the ancient, you know, the Greek Septuagint, the Old Testament translated into Greek, originally the name Joshua was not spelled as Iosus, as they would have you believe now. It was just two Greek letters, iota and upsilon. So it was just pronounced as U, like U, okay? But the S-U-S terminus, the S-U-S terminus was added later by the Gnostics because S-U-S, when the suffix S-U-S is added on the end of a word in Greek, it pertains to Zeus. As an example, Tarsus means the sweat of Zeus. So they added S-U-S to the end of it because the first three letters of Joshua Yahshua's name is Yah, like the Father's name Yah, which we read about in Psalm 68. He says, my name is Yah. So what the S-U-S on the end means is Yah is Zeus. That's what they were trying to portray to us when they invented the name Jesus, Yah Zeus. Okay, so the Jesuits started what they call the Society of Jesus. And you see, most Catholic people don't realize this. They're not aware of this. But in the higher echelons, as you get higher up into the Illuminati, you see the Jesuits call themselves the Illuminati in Latin. The Illuminati means the enlightened ones. Well, they believe that Lucifer and Jesus are one and the same being. You see, in Isaiah 14:12, it tells us in the King James Version, oh, how are you fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now, the word Lucifer was not there originally. That was added by the King James translators. That word Lucifer is a Latin word that means shining one. Now, in Hebrew, it says, oh, how are you fallen? Oh, Halel ben Shakar. Halel ben Shakar means shining one, son of the morning, not the morning star. Okay, you see, our Messiah, Yahushua, referred to himself as the bright and morning star. As we read in Revelation 22, he says, I am the bright and morning star. What is the brightest star in the solar system? The brightest star in the solar system is the sun. And of course, Satan, Hasatan, wants people to worship him. So what he does is he convinces people to worship the created object of the sun itself rather than the one who created the sun. Who created the sun? Our Messiah. In Colossians 1:16, it says that he is the creator of all things, both in heaven and in earth. He is indeed the creator. And so he created the sun. He also created the angel we call Halel ben Shakar. And he is also talked about in Ezekiel 28. He was a covering cherub at one time, but he fell from that position because he thought in his heart that he would ascend and he would be higher than the Most High, Yahuwah Elohim, our creator. He said, I will ascend into the heavens. I shall be like the Most High. And when he thought this in his heart, the minute he even thought about it, he was immediately cast from his high position. So the fallen angel that we know as Lucifer in Latin. In Hebrew, he's Halel. Halel, son of the morning. He's not the morning star. He's the son of the morning. However, all the corrupted manuscripts of the Bible that come from the Greek Septuagint, they would have you believe that it was the morning star, that it was Messiah Yahushua who fell from heaven. So this is why in Isaiah 14:12, it inaccurately says, how are you fallen, O morning star? Beloved, if you have a Bible that says that in Isaiah 14:12, I would throw that Bible away because you would know that that Bible was inspired by the Gnostics. And what exactly is Gnosticism? Gnosticism is a Greek word gnosos, which means knowledge. Gnosticism teaches that Messiah did not come in human flesh. They say that the Christ is not a person. The Christ is a consciousness. That the Christ consciousness has rested on many different people throughout the ages. They say that the Christ consciousness rested upon Nimrod, that the Christ consciousness rested upon all the patriarchs in the Bible, like Moses and Noah, and they say that the Christ consciousness rested upon Buddha, and the Christ consciousness rested upon all these different leaders of different religions. They say that, you know, the Christ consciousness can rest upon anybody, okay? Now, to be clear, there's a difference between the anointing, okay, because see, the Hebrew word for Messiah or Christ is Mashiach. Mashiach means to anoint or to rub with oil. So it's true that we can all have that anointing. He has given us his anointing. He has given us his authority. However, the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Christ of the Bible came in human flesh. And in 1 John 4:3, it says, every spirit that confesses not, I'm reading it to you in King James, it says, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, this is that spirit of Antichrist. Now, that verse, the meaning of that verse always eluded me for many years because I thought, well, doesn't everybody believe that he came in the flesh? Well, not really. The Gnostics teach that he himself was not the Christ or he was not the Messiah. He was just another ordinary human being like you and me. who was also a sinner, but he possessed what they call the Christ consciousness. So they don't believe that our Messiah, Yahushua, is fully Yah, Yahuwah, come to us in human flesh. So this is important because it says every spirit that confesses not that he is Yahuwah come in the flesh, that this is the spirit of anti-Messiah. Now, if you read that verse with the original Hebrew name restored back to the text, you get a different picture. You can read that verse in 1 John 4:3 as if it says this: every spirit that confesses not that Yahushua HaMashiach is come in the flesh, this is that spirit of anti-Messiah. Now, if you look up the name Joshua in Hebrew, it means Yahuwah is salvation. So, with the Hebrew name restored back to the text of 1 John 4:3, now the meaning is restored to us. Now we understand what it's telling us. It's saying every spirit that denies that Yahuwah, our salvation, is come to us in the flesh, this is that spirit of anti-Messiah. Anyone who denies that our Messiah, Yahushua, is fully the Father Yahuwah himself come in human flesh, every spirit that denies this is of the spirit of anti-Messiah. And so this is the essence of Gnosticism, beloved. Gnosticism is what has caused people to believe that our Messiah is just nothing more than another human being, just like you and me, that he was a sinner, that he fell from heaven, and Isaiah 14:12. And Gnosticism teaches that the morning star of heaven, and then he came back as reincarnated as Lucifer. So they say Lucifer is Jesus. They are one and the same being. They say that he fell from heaven, but he reincarnated and came back as Jesus, and that during his earthly ministry, he repented for his crimes, and he rehabilitated himself. And then they say that after he died on the cross, he went to hell and he suffered there as a sinner and he paid for his crimes in hell. And then he was born again. They say he was the first born again man, the first man to be born again. And now he is seated back on the throne at the right hand of the Father. So Gnosticism would have us believe that Lucifer is the one who's now seated at the right hand of the Father. They say that Lucifer and Jesus are the same being. So now that brings me to the topic that I'm about to talk about tonight, about the word of faith doctrine, the damnable heresies of the word of faith doctrine. And I'm going to share that with you tonight. Now, I know that I've been telling you guys I was going to continue my study on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. I do plan on continuing that study. However, I believe this is so important that we must cover this tonight about the dangers of Gnosticism and how Gnosticism has fully crept in to the Christian church. You must understand this before you will have enough discernment to pick up on false doctrines that are leading people astray. Damnable heresies of the word of faith doctrine. Now, in 2 Kefa or Peter, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying Yahuwah that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, you'll notice that these false teachers and prophets will bring these deceptions privately, or in other words, subtly. They will be undetected by the masses because they will mix in a lot of good teaching that sounds really good. It's like masking a drop of deadly poison in a delicious bowl of chocolate pudding. One would eat the chocolate pudding and never know there was poison in it, and they could die. And such is the case with the majority of evangelists on television. The dream that I had back in March of 2002, and I was shown that these false shepherds are nothing more than hirelings. They don't care about the sheep. They are in the ministry for the money alone. And when a wolf comes, in other words, the anti-Messiah, they will flee and they will leave the sheep alone and defenseless with the wolf. Listen to what it says in Yehuchanan or John 10. Our Messiah said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. You see, most of these evangelists on television these days are nothing more than hirelings, and I will expose the heresies that they teach to the masses. Now, I'm going to get a lot of hate mail, I am sure of it, but I really don't care because I know that Yahuwah has called me to be a watchman to the house of Israel. Now, what exactly is a watchman? A watchman is someone who stands on the walls of the city of Jerusalem, and they would watch to see if an enemy was coming to attack. While the people were sleeping at night inside the city, the watchman would stand on the wall and keep watch. And if an enemy was going to come and invade that city, that watchman had to sound the shofar or the trumpet to awaken everybody in the city and let them know, time to wake up, an enemy is coming to attack us. Now, if that watchman did not sound the shofar, and if that watchman did not warn the people, and they all perished, guess what? That watchman was worthy of being stoned to death because he could have saved all those lives, and he failed to do so. Well, that is what my calling is. I'm called to be a watchman. And you can get mad at me all you want because I'm calling out these enemies that have infiltrated the church. They are not true shepherds. They are false shepherds. They have one agenda, and that one agenda is to line their pockets with money and to lead the masses into the arms of the Pope. That is their agenda. They're willing to curse Israel for financial gain in the very same way that we read about in the Tanakh or in the Old Testament, that Balaam did the very same thing. He cursed Israel. He was willing to curse Israel for money, for hire. Okay? These false shepherds have cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. They don't care for the sheep. And so in Titus 3:10, we are told, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition to reject. We are to reject anyone who, after we've had given them admonition, the first or the second time, we are to reject that heretic. Now, one of the biggest deceptions today in the church is what is called the word of faith. Now, there's nothing wrong with faith. Obviously, faith is a principle that our Messiah taught us to have. But this doctrine is inaccurately called word of faith. This teaching actually has its roots in Mormonism and Freemasonry, yet it pretends to be genuinely biblical. Many in the church who profess to believe in the deity of our Messiah, Yahushua, have subscribed to this heresy, unaware of what its tenets really are. My aim is to expose this insidious false gospel for what it really is and show it in the light of Scripture as the very same lie that the serpent beguiled Eve with in the Garden of Eden. Now, I'm going to list the 10 lies that Satan has effectively sold to the modern-day church through this false gospel called Word of Faith. Okay, the first tenet of this doctrine is this. So-called revelation knowledge, or rhema, is placed above the written logos word, the logos word of Elohim. You see, in Greek, the word rhema means, you know, to have a revelation. The word logos means the written word. Back in 2002, I woke up from a dream and I heard the voice of the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, say to me, "The doctrine of the Nicolaitans." For many years, I had wondered what this doctrine of the Nicolaitans is. This doctrine is one of elitism. It purports that only a select group of people are able to receive revelation knowledge from the Creator. The term Nicolaitans actually means to conquer the people and thus to have dominion over them. These Nicolaitans were Gnostics. In Greek, Gnosticism comes from the word gnosos, which means knowledge. Word of Faith teachers see themselves as having a commission to bring new spiritual revelation to the body of Messiah, and they belittle the simple childlike faith of others as inadequate. In this scheme, it is not sin and disobedience that causes us to fail, but ignorance of the word. This revelation knowledge is limited to the few who can receive it, and everyone else is at a disadvantage. But Elohim tells us that not many wise men after the flesh are called into the ministry, but Elohim has chosen the things which are despised so that no man can glory in his presence. Now, let me read to you what the Apostle Shaul or Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:25 through 28. He illustrates this concept very well. He says, because the foolishness of Elohim is wiser than men, and the weakness of Elohim is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But Elohim has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and Elohim has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised has Elohim chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So you see, beloved, while it is true we should get wisdom, the book of Proverbs commands us to get wisdom. But where do we get wisdom from? From the Torah, the law of Moses. It's not from this Gnostic way of thinking, this Greco-Roman Gnostic way of thinking, where they over-spiritualize the scriptures and everything is treated as a metaphor or an allegory. Now, granted, we can glean from the scriptures the allegorical or the metaphor interpretation. However, what Gnosticism does is it completely tosses out the literal interpretation of scripture, and everything is just overly spiritualized. Now, number two, the second tenet of this false doctrine is that our Creator, the Almighty, is a weak faith being who is at the mercy of his own universal laws. Now, I'm going to be going on a break shortly here, but before I go on a break, I want to let you guys know, if you are interested in receiving my flash drive, I have 60 ebooks on that flash drive, and included on the flash drive is this teaching called The Damnable Heresies of the Word of Faith Doctrine. Just write to me at doubleportioninheritance@gmail.com. And for a minimum donation of $60 to this ministry, I will send you the flash drive. Also, you can go to my website, doubleportioninheritance.com, and read the blog there. It's listed in the section under Media and Maria's Blogs, and you'll be able to read the entire blog called The Damnable Heresies of the Word of Faith Doctrine. So I'll be back after this short commercial break. Okay, I'm back from the commercial break, and as I was explaining before the commercial break, the number two tenet of this Word of Faith doctrine is that the Almighty is a weak faith being who is at the mercy of his own universal laws. Now, although Word of Faith ministers do speak of Elohim in a personal way, they treat him like an impersonal energy source with forces that can be operated by the use of laws. These are laws which even Elohim has to obey in order to create and run his universe. They say that Elohim has left the control of planet Earth in man's hands, and he is powerless to intervene without a covenant partner. This discredits the Almighty as a sovereign and omnipotent creator who can do his own will as he sees fit. And it makes him just like a genie in a bottle at our beck and call when we decide we want to name it and claim it. The number three tenet of this Word of Faith doctrine is Yahushua Messiah was merely a born-again man who had to die in hell to pay the price for our treason. That is what they actually believe. It's called Jesus died spiritually. That is the most damaging of all things with this Word of Faith doctrine, this Jesus died spiritually, okay? It started with a man by the name of E.W. Kenyon, and E.W. Kenyon taught that to Kenneth Hagin, and Kenneth Hagin taught that to Kenneth Copeland, and now all the TV preachers believe in this quote-unquote Jesus died spiritually doctrine. Creflo Dollar believes it. Joyce Meyer believes it. They all believe in that he had to go to hell and die as a sinner. You see, according to Word of Faith doctrine, Yahushua left his divinity in heaven and he came to earth as a mere human being filled with the Holy Spirit. They say that he had to use the word and the laws of faith to do miracles. They purport that when he died, his blood did not atone, but he had to take upon himself the very sin nature of the devil, causing his spirit to die. They say that he suffered 3 days as a sinner in hell before the Father gave the command for him to be recreated as a reborn man. Thus, they say, Yahushua was just the first of many sons, the pattern for us all to follow. Now, while this is true that Yahushua did go into the lower parts of the earth, according to Ephesians 4, 8 through 10, he did not go there to atone for sin, neither did he suffer there as a sinner. The Bible goes on to tell us the purpose for him going there. It says he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. In other words, he took away the keys from Satan that held us captive to sin, and he gave his free gift of salvation to men. It says nothing about Yahushua suffering in hell as a sinner. Yahushua had already made atonement for us when he died on the tree. And when he gave up his spirit, his last words were, "It is finished," indicating that he had accomplished that which he had come to earth to fulfill. So let's read this, Ephesians 4, 8 through 10. It says, "Wherefore," he says, "when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." You see, Yahushua ascended to heaven, but he first descended into the lowest parts of the earth to take captive Satan's power, which held us captive to sin. That was his purpose for going there, not to suffer as a sinner. He did not need to be born again. He was from the beginning. He was the creator from the beginning. It tells us this in John 1:1, that he was Elohim, and that the Word became flesh, that he was Elohim. Yahushua was from birth and throughout his eternal life Emmanuel. Emmanuel in Hebrew means Elohim with us. Okay, and it tells us this in Matthew 1:23. That means that Father Yahuwah, Elohim, the Creator, was with us the whole time. He did not leave his divinity in heaven. Yahushua came to earth as 100% Elohim and 100% man all at the same time. You see, in John 14:10, it says, "He was in the Father and the Father was in him." He says, "I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Yahushua even told us that he and the Father are one. John 10:30. Yahushua is the Aleph and the Tau. In other words, in Greek, they say Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. We read that in Revelation 1:8. He is Elohim, and he came to earth as Elohim in the flesh. Yahushua went to the lower parts of the earth to preach the gospel to all those who had died prior to his atonement on the tree. And they had no means of atoning for their sins permanently. Let's read it. It's in 1 Peter 4, 5 through 6. It says, "Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to Elohim in the spirit." So this is telling us that Messiah, Yahushua, went into what's called Abraham's bosom. We read about Abraham's bosom, and I believe it's in Luke's gospel, Luke the 16th chapter, where our Messiah explains about this place called Abraham's bosom. He tells the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, and Lazarus, the poor beggar, he was in this temporary holding place called Abraham's bosom. So all those who died prior to Messiah's atonement on the tree, the righteous people who died prior to his death on the tree, they went to that place called Abraham's bosom. And that's where he went. It says he preached the gospel to them that are dead. Now, I know some people believe in this soul sleep doctrine. I'm sorry, I do not believe in this soul sleep doctrine. The scripture clearly tells us, even the Apostle Shaul says to be absent from the body is to be present with Yahuwah. Okay, now, of course, our body sleeps, but our spirit does not sleep. Our spirit leaves our body. Our body's in the grave, dead, but the spirit lives on. It goes to Elohim who made it. So this is how he was able to preach to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to Elohim in the spirit. He did this to give all people an opportunity to hear the gospel and to repent and be saved. Those who had died before Messiah's sacrifice on the tree were given the very same chance to be saved as those who are alive today, and they will likewise be judged in the same way as men in the flesh, meaning in their mortal bodies. There's not a word of scripture that says that our Messiah went to hell to suffer as a mere sinner. Okay, number four, the fourth tenet of this word of faith doctrine is man is equal in deity to Yahushua Messiah. This is what they believe. They believe that mankind is equal in deity to our Messiah. The problem with this Jesus died spiritually doctrine is that all born again believers in Messiah stand in the same place of power and authority as Yahushua, not by virtue of their unity with him, but in themselves as men filled with the Spirit. This would mean that we've already been resurrected from the dead, and it only remains for us to gain knowledge or gnosis of our new condition in order to discard the trappings of the fleshy body and begin living as a spiritual God on earth. The scriptures clearly tell us that the gift of the Holy Spirit is the first fruits, a down payment, so to speak, of our salvation. But the redemption of the body is the final completion of our salvation. Let's read it. It's in Romans 8:23. It says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Thus, the walk of the follower of Messiah, according to Word of Faith doctrine, is one of education in using the same spiritual laws as Yahushua in order to dominate the circumstances and do miracles. In Word of Faith teaching, believers do not depend on the Almighty's power nor submit to his will, but they feel they have the right to develop their own powers and to discover the laws that govern creation and dominion on the earth. But the scripture tells us that we are seated with Messiah, Yahushua, in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 2:6. And so when we are abiding in him, when we are abiding in the vine, then we can stand in that authority. But unless we are abiding in him, we do not possess that authority apart from him. This does not occur in and of ourselves. The Bible never tells us that our Messiah, Yahushua, died spiritually. Although it does tell us that Elohim sent Yahushua in the likeness of sinful flesh. Romans 8:3. It says he was tempted in everything as we are, yet without sin. This means that Yahushua had a nature that was like ours before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, before their pre-fallen state, yet he never sinned. And he never died spiritually, so he never needed to be born again spiritually, because he had a human nature that was just like Adam and Eve's before the fall. In Romans 6:6, it says that Yahushua destroyed the body of sin, indicating that his body took our sins, not his spirit. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:24 that Yahushua bore our sins in his own body. But it never says that Yahushua bore our sins spiritually by taking on the nature of the devil. Yahushua was born again physically when he resurrected from the dead, and he put on incorruption or immortality. You see, Word of Faith teachers use the fact that Yahushua was anointed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism as so-called proof that he needed to be born again. But the fact is, Yahushua already possessed the anointing of the Holy Spirit before his baptism, as indicated by his first miracle that he did before he began his ministry. When he turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana, that was his first miracle, and this was before he was baptized. So the anointing of our Messiah, Yahushua, was for the sheer purpose of him being manifested and revealed to the nation of Israel as their Messiah. Okay, now the next tenet of the Word of Faith doctrine, number 5, it says man can become a god. You see, to understand the special position that Word of Faith gives to man, we need to know their interpretation of the creation. In their teaching, man has no nature of his own, but takes his nature from his Lord. When Elohim was his master, then man had a divine nature, for he was created as Elohim of the earth. They say, the God of the earth. But after man's fall, he took the sin nature of the devil and became like Satan. All of this, of course, is contrary to Scripture. And so Word of Faith believers would reason that a born-again man has regained his divine nature. Thus, he is entitled to use the attributes of his divinity, such as creative powers and domination of the environment, etc. Now, while the Almighty did indeed create man in his image and likeness, it does not mean that Adam and Eve had the very nature of Elohim. Even the serpent told Eve this lie, that if she would eat the fruit which Elohim had forbidden them to eat, that she would become as gods, knowing good and evil. If Eve already possessed the nature of Elohim, she could not have been tricked by the serpent, because Elohim cannot be tempted with evil, we are told in the book of James. The fact that Eve was drawn away of her own lust proves she did not possess the nature of Elohim. Adam and Eve possessed a human nature that was pure and innocent, like that of Elohim's nature. In other words, they had a pure nature like his, but they didn't have his full nature. In Jacob, or James 1:13-14, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of Elohim,' for Elohim cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." In Acts 14, after Shaul or Paul healed a man, the people said, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." Now, here was the perfect opportunity for the Apostle Paul or Shaul to teach the doctrine that Christians are little gods on earth. But the Apostle Shaul rebuked them for saying this, and he denied that he or Barnabas were gods. In fact, the Bible says this. Let's go there. It's in Acts 14. It says, "When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, 'Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living Elohim, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein.'" You see, the apostles were outraged at being called gods or little gods on earth. Yet this is what Word Faith teachers preach from their pulpits. Number 6, let's talk about the tenet of what they believe about mankind. Word of Faith teachers stress the loss of dominion over the earth, not sin, as the root problem. And so salvation becomes a matter of rediscovering one's place of godhood and learning to rule as kings on earth. The role that our Messiah had to play in redemption was that of a substitute Adam coming to earth to fulfill all that Adam failed to do, demonstrating the possibilities of dominion and then taking Adam's place in hell to let mankind off the hook. The worship given to Yahushua by Word of Faith believers is more from a sense of gratitude than recognition of his divinity. It also misses the whole point of redemption, that Yahushua himself is the life and salvation of mankind, and that we are only saved in union with him. Scripture tells us that Yahushua was the second Adam in the sense that he came to undo the damage that Adam caused by allowing Satan to have dominion, thus making us slaves to sin. But this doesn't mean that Yahushua took Adam's place in Gehenna or hell. Like Mormonism, which teaches that Adam started out as a man but then ascended to godhood, Word of Faith teaches the very same thing. Okay, number seven, the goal is to transformation of the earth by spiritual dominion. Because Word of Faith believers see themselves as having returned to their godlike dominion of the earth, they foresee the time coming when, by sheer force of numbers, probably that all mankind will have to bow the knee to Elohim, the Creator. They teach that all the wealth of the world will flow to the church, and that the laws, government, and entire social structure of the world system will have to change. Despite scriptural warnings of apostasy and increasing wickedness in the end times, they foresee a great victory for the church in the future as the Spirit sweeps millions into the kingdom on earth. Whether or not they claim to believe in the end time plan of Revelation, the rapture or the millennium or any of these things, they still seem to be able to fit a scheme of global church unity and triumph into the plan of the ages. Number eight, Word of Faith doctrine replaces prayer with confession and Elohim's will with the manipulation of forces. Word of Faith teachers teach that Christians have to draw upon powerful forces that reside within the human spirit. You see, this is the very same teaching of Hinduism and Eastern mysticism. They say that the force of faith will bring certain laws into operation. But faith, we are told, is a gift from the Holy Spirit, not something we inherently possess of ourselves. They emphasize the Word, not the Son of Elohim, but the Scriptures as the power used to operate all these spiritual laws. And so learning and confessing the Word continually is the method used to obtain anything we want. This self-rule leads to pride and greed. But a follower of Messiah must deny himself and submit to the entire will of Elohim as revealed moment by moment by the Holy Spirit, or the Ruach HaKodesh. Number nine, Word of Faith denies the reality of sin and sickness. Even though Yahushua healed the sick and commanded us to do the same, there are times when a believer isn't healed in this life, but he is being called home to Messiah, into the arms of the Heavenly Father. Yahushua indicated that some people are sick so that the glory of Elohim might be made manifest by their healing, while others are sick unto death. And others are sick because they are being chastened or judged. There are many reasons why people are not always healed, but it is not always due to lack of faith. Number 10, the Word of Faith doctrine focuses on self and the world instead of the Creator in heaven. The emphasis in Word of Faith doctrine is all on success, prosperity, advancement, gain, health, and strength. There is little compassion for those who fail to come up to these standards of wealth and health. Any adversity is said to be a lack of faith and a lack of confessing the Word. But our Creator tells us that if we refuse to share in the trials, the setbacks, and persecutions of our Messiah, we are not ready to share His glorification. We read this in Romans 8:17. Many Word of Faith teachers and ministries have brought reproach to the name of our Messiah, Yahushua, as they have ended up in greed and manipulating believers into giving money that they can't afford to give.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast and that you are encouraged in your walk with Messiah through the teaching. To visit Maria's website, visit DoublePortionInheritance.com. That's www.DoublePortionInheritance.com. This broadcast depends on the love gifts and offerings of listeners like you. To send a donation to Maria's ministry, write Double Portion Inheritance, Maria Merola, P.O. Box 7311, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22404. Or you can donate with the PayPal button at DoublePortionInheritance.com. For Maria and all the ministry team at Double Portion Inheritance, may Yah bless you.